Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on 12/2. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Terms and conditions apply.
At the very core of the classical, traditional, historical understanding of God is the doctrine of divine aseity. In Latin, the phrase a se literally means from himself. The term aseity is an abstract noun form of this phrase used to signify God's from himselfness. The doctrine of divine aseity, then, asserts that God is self-existent and self-sufficient. God is the ultimate explanation of his own being. Negatively, divine aseity entails that God is ontologically independent. God doesn't depend on anything in order to be in any way. God does not have his existence through another. God is not reliant on anything outside of himself. God is uncaused, uncreated, underived, and unoriginated. Positively, divine aseity entails that God is the ultimate reality. God is metaphysically fundamental. Nothing is prior to or more primal than God. Nothing is more foundational or more basic than God. God is the absolute being and the ground of all being. God stands at the apex of the hierarchy of reality. He gives being to all, and he receives being from none. God is the first cause and the uncreated creator. Divine aseity is often explained in contemporary terms by saying that God is a necessary being, or that God necessarily exists, which is to say that God exists by the necessity of his own nature. In contrast to contingent beings, which can fail to exist, a necessary being cannot fail to exist, or cannot not exist. It is not possible for a necessary being not to be. In terms of modal logic so fashionable in philosophical speak today, a necessary being is said to exist in all possible worlds. In more classical language, God is the absolutely necessary ground for the absolutely unnecessary, radically contingent universe. Now, a couple of clarifications are in order at this point. First, the doctrine of divine aseity does not say that God is self-caused, but that God is uncaused. To say that God causes his own existence is, of course, self-contradictory. To cause means to bring into being something distinct from oneself. If God caused his own being, he would both exist in order to cause and not exist in order to be caused at the same time, and that's a contradiction. Hence, saying that God causes himself is metaphysically incoherent. Although it is incoherent to say that God is the cause of his own existence, it is not incoherent to say that God is the explanation of his own existence. To understand why, we must appreciate the distinction between an efficient cause and an explanation. An efficient cause is a productive principle. A cause produces an effect. Efficient causal relations are asymmetrical. The cause ontologically precedes or grounds the effect. An efficient cause is thus distinct from its effect. An explanation is an intelligible principle that provides an account of why something is the way it is. To explain something is to provide an intelligible reason or ground. And unlike efficient causes, explanations are not necessarily distinct from what they explain. Now, although all efficient causes are explanations, all causes at least partially explain their effects by making them intelligible, not all explanations are efficient causes. The explanation of why 2 plus 2 equals 4, for example, is not something that produces it. Likewise, the explanation of why it's impossible to make a square circle also does not appeal to efficient causation. So, although it's logically impossible for something to causally produce its own existence, there's no logical reason that something cannot be the explanation of its own existence. And to say that God is the explanation of his own existence is just to say that the reason for God's existence is to be found in himself rather than in some external principle. A proper understanding of the doctrine of divine aseity illuminates the confusion behind the popular skeptical rejoinder. If everything needs a cause, then what caused God? This response against the theist simply begs the question by assuming that everything that exists must have a cause. However, no theist claims that everything that exists needs a cause. Rather, it's only causable things that need a cause. That is, things that are contingent and dependent in their being. Only if it is assumed that God is just another finite, contingent, dependent being among other beings in the universe does it follow that God too requires a cause. But this is precisely what the doctrine of divine aseity rejects. God is not another contingent being in the universe. He is the necessary ground of being. God is the sole ultimate reality. So if we're talking about something that requires a cause, something that by its nature is causable, we have simply changed the subject and are no longer talking about God as he has been traditionally conceived. Although given the doctrine of divine aseity, it's nonsensical to ask for a cause of God, it's entirely legitimate to wonder what it is about God that explains his aseity. How is it that God is independently self-existent? What relevant difference is there between God and the rest of creation? Is aseity just a property that God happens to possess or that happens to belong to God? Is it just a primitive or brute fact that God exists necessarily? Is divine aseity just a matter of assertion or special pleading? Or is there some deeper metaphysical explanation as to how it is that God is relevantly different than every other being in the universe, as to why, unlike any other being in the universe, God can exist through himself or by the necessity of his own nature. The 13th century Christian theologian and philosopher Thomas Aquinas thought that there was indeed a deeper metaphysical explanation for God's unique self-existence. According to Aquinas, every created being, even an angelic being, is an admixture of two fundamental metaphysical principles, act and potency. Act, or actuality, refers to all the ways an actual being is. Every being, insofar as it exists, has some measure of actuality. Potency, or potentiality, refers to all the ways an actual being could be. Potency is a real capacity in a thing for further being, a real capacity to be or to become in some way that it is not yet. These fundamental principles of act and potency were first discovered by Aristotle, who realized that they must be posited to account for the reality of being and becoming in the world, or of constancy and change. Change, as Aristotle came to see, just is the actualization of a potency. It's important to see that act has ontological priority over potency in the order of being. A thing cannot have potencies or capacities unless it first exists as a being of some kind. Potency is therefore only intelligible in relation to act. Act also has causal priority over potency. A potency cannot actualize itself, but requires something already in act to actualize it. For Aquinas, being composed of act and potency is what ultimately accounts for the contingency and dependency of creatures. Creatures don't have to exist. They have only possible or potential being. And as merely possible or potential beings, all creatures depend on some actual being external to themselves to actualize them or to give them being. It is this fundamental act potency distinction among creatures that provides the metaphysical framework for identifying the relevant difference that exists between the creature and the creator, between every other being and God. Whereas all creatures are composites of act and potency, and thereby contingent and dependent, God alone is purely actual. God is utterly devoid of passive potencies. He has no unrealized potential. God has no capacity to receive new being or to become what he is not. Because God has no potencies that need to be actualized by another, he is utterly independent in his being. As pure act, God can actualize the being of other things without having to have his own being actualized. God is thus a purely actual actualizer. Moreover, Aquinas reasons that since nothing can have actual being unless it has existence, since all being presupposes existence, existence is the fundamental core of actuality. Existence, says Aquinas, is the act of all acts. To say that God is pure act, then, is for Aquinas to say that God is pure existence. Hence Aquinas' famous designation of God as existence itself subsisting. Another way to say the same thing is to say that God's essence is the same as his existence. Because creatures are fundamentally composites of act and potency, what they are, their essence considered as a potency, is distinct from that by which they are, or their existence considered as an act. But as pure actuality, there can be no such composition in God between his essence and his existence, between what he is and that by which he is. And this is what it means for God to be a se, or through himself. God's essence is to exist. To be God is to be. This sublime truth, writes Aquinas, Moses was taught by our Lord. When Moses asked our Lord, "If the children of Israel say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" The Lord replied, "I am who am. Thou shalt say to the children of Israel, 'He who is has sent me to you.'" By this our Lord showed that his own proper name is he who is. God is the transcendent I am. This, then, is the deep metaphysical explanation of God's necessary existence. God's aseity is not a brute fact or an instance of special pleading, but is grounded by his being the pure, infinite act of subsistent being.